All right, we are now going to get ready for the unfortunately last talk of the NixOS Dev Room this year. And we have on stage Julien and Camille, who are going to talk about unattended encrypted root file system boots on NixOS, which everyone who encrypts their hard drives knows about that problem of not being able to reboot remotely. So give them a round of applause.
Thank you very much. I'm Julien Malka, and this is Camille Mondon, and we are both old students of Ecole Normale Supérieure, and we did this during our studies, so a few months ago. So we are going to talk about Clevis and Tang on NixOS, and I have to say, and to thank NLNet for funding this this new feature in NixOS. So the plan is, I'm going to motivate why it's interesting to have full disk encryption remote servers. We are going to present Clevis, which is the automated encryption framework, give an in-depth view of the Tang protocol, and then talk about our implementation and show you a demo. So, full disk encryption of remote servers, of course, it looks like a good idea. Like critical data or even non-critical data should be protected by full disk encryption nowadays. Problem is often more difficult to do it on servers because when you have full disk encryption, you need to basically input your passphrase at boot. And this requires physical intervention, so it's a bit painful to reboot servers. One solution that is often used is spawning a SSH server in initrd. This way you can, instead of having physical intervention, you can just SSH to your server and input your key and unlock your root partition and continue booting. But this still requires synchronous intervention. So if your server reboots for some reason that it was not planned and you are not awake or doing anything else, your server actually doesn't reboot. So that's why having this kind of solution is interesting.
Okay, so before Julien dives in the McCallum-Morelli protocol, we are going to present the Clevis automated encryption framework. So it's a project developed by the team LatchSet, which is basically just a big set of batch scripts wrapping around José, which is the core encryption system. And it's a pluggable framework for automated decryption. So there's the notion of pins, which is central, is a plugin that implements automated decryption. And to encrypt some data with Clevis, well, you just have to do Clevis encrypt, and then you write the pin you want to use, the config, your plain text message, and then you get a ciphered text in the format GWE. So first, the first kind of pin you can use is a TPM 2.0 pin. I don't know exactly how works the encryption using TPM, but basically Clevis first, José first generates a key, and then this key is used to encrypt the message, and then this key is itself encrypted, and using the key generated by the TPM, and it will be decrypted the same way when Clevis needs to decrypt the message. So that's very useful if you require a TPM 2.0 and not 1.2 for that to work. And the most useful kind of pin is the Tang pin, which was designed by the same team of developers. And so it's a server implementation providing binding services without the need for an escrow. Basically, you do Clevis encrypt Tang, and you precise the URL of your Tang server, and this will encrypt your message using the protocol that Julien will describe to you later. And then there's Shamir secret sharing, which is a combination it's a way to break down a secret into multiple pieces. And there's the notion of threshold. Here it's T, and its value is 2. And so you basically make a combination in your configuration of multiple pins, the previous examples being TPM and Tang. And here you see there's three pins, one TPM and two Tang servers. And the threshold is two, so you have to have two working pins in order to decrypt your secret. Obviously, at the encryption time, you need a whole three pins to be up. So, right. Julien was explaining.
Thank you, Camille. I'm going to try to explain how the Tang protocol works, which might be. I'll try to explain it as simple as possible, but this is extra for you. So basically, the Tang protocol looks like the Diffie-Hellman key exchange. The Diffie-Hellman key exchange is something used to get a shared symmetric key between two actors on an unsecure channel. And the idea is not that complicated. The idea is that you need to imagine that we have a mathematical operation star that is easy to compute. So if I get two numbers A and B, I can compute A star B. But on the other hand, super difficult to reverse. So if I get C, which is A star B, it's very difficult to get A and B. And the idea is that we have also J, which is a public parameter. And the idea is that we have a server and a client. They each generate a secret, S and C, and then they send their secret star J, and then they both on their sides multiply by whatever they receive from the other side. So at the end, on both sides, they get C, J, S, and S, J, C, which is the same thing. So they get a shared key that they can use to encrypt their messages and talk with each other. But somebody listening here cannot do the separation of this operation, so it doesn't get any information. If the math is a little bit too abstract, you can imagine this with paint. There we have J, which is the common paint. Then you have secret paint on each side. They do the mixing of paint, and they get each a color. And from this color, it's very difficult to find which colors, which paints were used to do the mixing. Then they send both their paint and add their secret to whatever they receive, and they get a shared color, which is like an analogy for the shared key. This is the Diffie-Hellman protocol used on the internet to devise a shared symmetric key to discuss with somebody. And the Tang protocol is derived from this. So there is two sides of this. The first side is like the provisioning. So it looks like Diffie-Hellman, they both generate a secret. The server sends J times his secret, and the client sends nothing. The clients compute what should be the shared key, but doesn't send his secret to the server. And so he devises a key, encode whatever message he wants to encode with this key, and then throw the key away. So at this point, the client has encoded the encrypted message, ciphertext, but doesn't know how to decrypt it because it threw the key away. When he wants to decrypt, it will do this. So it will generate a new secret E and send to the server JE plus JC. The server will take this and multiply by its secret and send it back to the client. At this point, the client does this mathematical operation. So whatever it received minus JS E, and this gives it another key that it used to decode the message. And here you have the math of why this works. So if we go y minus jse is x s minus jse. X was je plus jc, so je plus jcs. And if you compute this, it gives you jes plus jcs minus jse, which gives JCS, which is K. So with this manipulation, it can find the original key again and decrypt the message. So what does it give us? So let's say an attacker gains access to the client. As I said, at this point, the client has discarded the key, only has a ciphertext, cannot decrypt. So you gain access to the client, cannot do anything. Take access to the Tang server. Tang server doesn't receive any information at no point in this protocol. So you have access of the Tang server, you cannot get the secret. And if you intercept all messages here and here, because of what I said, like the Diffie-Hellman assumption, that is very hard to reverse these star operations, you also get no information. So basically, the only way for an attacker to have the secret would be to get access of the client and the server at the same time, or to be on the local network where you have your Tang server. That's the principle of how it works. Let's talk about the Nixos implementation now.
Okay, thank you, Julien, for the theory. Now we're going to dive in the Nixos implementation. You'll see that it's really simple. So if you have your Nixos laptop with you, you can do it live. If you don't, maybe install Nixos. And so first you have to deploy a Tang module. So it's it was added by Jeff Roche. And,
who is here, by the way?
Oh, and you can enable it with simply with services.tang.enable. Then there's only one parameter really important, is the IP address allow, which is critical because it defines the subnet that you trust, because every machine on this subnet will have access to your Tang server, and if someone gets your secret.gw using only Tang, well, it can decipher it. So you put a network that you trust. Then you don't forget to open the firewall, as I did a lot of time, and so you can change the port. This is the default port in the NixOS module, but you can put it on port 80 if you want. Okay, so now you have your Tang server. Then the Clevis module, it was packaged inside the initRG, already existed as a Clevis inside Nix packages. So basically, it works in initRD both system D stage 1 and non-inscripted initRD. So what it does is before decrypting the root partition, it tries to do Clevis decrypt with the secret .gwe, which was put inside your initRD secrets. And if it succeeds, then it pipes the value to decrypt the root partition. And if it fails, it falls back on interactive on unlocking. So how to use it? First, you have to generate the secret. So it's really, really easy. You just type in your secret and you pipe it. Be careful, because if you have you will most certainly not have a carriage return carriage inside your secret. So you have to add a dash N when you pipe to Clevis. And then you write your Clevis configuration as we showed earlier. Then when you have your secret, you can put it in your etc NixOS folder or in your flag, and then you write this only line, which is boot initRD Clevis devices. Then you put here the name of the device inside your file system root partition configuration. So it has to be the same name. This works only if your root partition is encrypted using one of these three servers. The client has also a TPM 2.0 device. And what we require, so first you type in your secret in a secret way, so it goes to the secret environment variable. Then we state the config that we wrote previously in JSON format for Clevis. So you can see a threshold of 2 for, okay.
Sorry.
It's quick, but yes, yes. Okay, and then you can pipe your secret to Clevis, encrypt a secret, Xamarin secret sharing, and with the configuration that you use. Okay, it's now in pause. Okay, so this means that the Tang servers have been reached, so that's why you ask you to trust the signing keys, both Tang servers. So now you have your secret. You can try and decrypt it. Okay, so your secret works. And now you have to modify your configuration. So first thing, because we're using the TPM, you have to add the kernel module. So I added both, but I think you can probably just add one if you know which one. Then you add the boot in etrg configuration. So it has to map, okay.
Ah,
sorry.
Attends.
Okay. No, it's okay. So it had to match the file system configuration. Then you can rebuild. Okay, and while we rebuild, we can turn off one of the Tang sockets, so the Tang one server.
And one?
Yes, because we defined in the threshold that just one of two is required. Then we reboot. And we see that it's not reachable, error communicating, but it's still boots very quickly.
So then it unlocks our partition, right?
Yes. So it worked, but then you turn off the second Tang server, just to check that, And then you can see that there are two errors for both Tang servers. And so there's an error reading the passphrase, and now you have to type in your password. So if you didn't set up an OpenSSH server, well, you basically you have to reboot your machine from.
Okay. Fini parce que j'ai pas de micro.
Okay. So what's left to do? Well, you can add more pins. To match your needs, so one useful one would be YubiKey, and then if you have exotic encryption solution, maybe you can try and use them with Clevis, for instance VeraCrypt or I don't know whatever. But so there's many other solutions to use. So feel free to contribute, and thank you very much for your attention.
We don't have a mic, so shout the question and we'll repeat it if you have a question. Question was, in case where the Tang servers are down, can you still SSH to input your password, or are you just out of luck? And the answer is, I expect it to work correctly with the existing SSH server and initrd features, so you have to configure it to do that, but it's possible. Yes?
No.
There is none apart from the fact that Clevis is just fancy wrappers around like the same calls that these features, these systemd cryptanal features are doing to the TPM. I don't know which one was first.
You set the threshold to 2 in that example. Does that mean that you could take that disk and run it on a different machine that didn't have that TPM if you had both times?
So yes, the question was, can you put the configuration? So, sorry, it just went very quickly, but the question was about the demo configuration. And so the threshold was set to 2, but we asked for the TPM to be live, to be available, and only one of the 2 tank servers. So it was very quick, but there's actually a combination of pins. So there's first the TPM, then inside the SSS configuration, there's another SSS pin with a threshold of 1. So this threshold applies to the TPM and the SSS with 2 tongues and a threshold of 1. So I guess it's OK. OK.
Can you repeat it, sorry?
How does encryption management work with DFS? As it only supports one single password.
Sure, that's
okay. Can you repeat it?
Yes, how does encryption key management work with DFS as it supports only one passphrase? The answer to this, it's the same passphrase that you encode in a Clevis secret. So what it does, it will first try to decrypt the Clevis secret, and if the decryption succeeds, then it will use this key as decryption for ZFS. Otherwise, it will ask you to input it like interactively. So, like, I guess the answer to this question is currently there is only one key phrase that is either in your brain or encoded in a Clevis secret. Yes.
Do you know of any possibility to have an encrypted kernel and init ID? So like a bootloader who use the TPM to decrypt kernel and init ID?
I do not know about this, no. I mean, as you describe maybe it's possible, but I do not know of any implementation of this kind of things.
So my motivation is then I can throw out my disk and dump it into the bin because even SSH keys or whatever I include in the init ID are not readable.
This secret, init ID secret that they're using.
I guess you need something to decrypt your kernel anyway. If you're going to have encrypted kernel, what is going to decrypt it?
System deboot, whatever.
Yes, okay. Then system deboot becomes the kernel. I don't know. I think that's pushing it a little bit. Why would you want your kernel to be secret? It's like, but if you're thinking about secrets, you want to put in initrd. That's something different. And we have, so currently in XOS we have unencrypted initrd secrets, but there is also a new features coming to system deboot and Lanza booty to have encrypted system initrd secrets encrypted via the TPM and systemd crypt, what's the name? Credentials, systemd credentials, sorry. That's maybe what you want. Yes?
I'm going from a theoretical perspective. You might not want to reveal which kernel you're using so that the attacker doesn't know what vulnerabilities you might have.
Yeah, agreed. So the remark was it's sometimes good not to have like a kernel unencrypted because then an attacker reading your boot partition would know exactly which version of the kernel you're using and maybe target some specific vulnerabilities. Thank you for the remark. Yes.
For this issue, it's probably worth trying KXart because that'll let you basically chain load any kernel you want after the decryption.
Okay. So the remark was you can use a KXEC to load basically any other kernel that you might have decrypted after the first kernel, so that you can still have some kind of encrypted kernel. Thank you. Yes?
Should I use the same tank server from multiple hosts or set up a different host? Or set up a different tank server per host because any host could decrypt, I guess, with the same tanks.
Well, as long as your tank server is in a secure network that you control the access and you have exclusive access, or that you have also set up TPM on your servers. But as long as your network is secure, I'd say that the protocol implies that tank servers have not access to anything except their own signing key. So you can use as many. That's what's cool about the Macalum Relay protocol, is that you can use as many clients as you want. The message doesn't even leave the client when it's encrypted, and the key using for encryption also doesn't leave the client. So, well, they have the key.
If, say, a malicious host joins the private network, and also gets the key from the other server, then you're kind of screwed, right? If you're not using the key.
Okay, so the question was if a malicious host reaches your private subnet and gets access to what, the client or the well, if they get access to the GWE secret, yes, well, then they can if they have access to the tank server and the GWE, then can they can decrypt. So that's why you have to either, well, put your tank server on something that you control very much, or well, encrypt your GWE token when you put it on your flake or whatever. It should not be clear to be read.
What happens if your tank server is down temporarily while you are rebooting your server?
Okay, so the question was, what happens if your tank server is down during the reboot of the server? As you saw, well, depending on your configuration, if you have a lower threshold, well, it would print an error communicating with the tank server first, but then it could, depending on your configuration, still boot or not. If you only have set up one tank server, it won't boot and then fall back to interactive unlocking.
And if I may add something, you may like configure your system so that it after. Like it times out trying to unlock your read partition after some while and reboots and then start again. And if it was a transient failure of tank server, then you might be saved by that.
We can do one last short question.
So there we have some documentation on the NixOS manual. This is merged and available in NixOS Unstable right now. It's not in 23.11, and you have some documentation in the Unstable manual.
Thank you, Jean-Camille.